baptized?
Who's not baptized? Oh, sure, just a few. And all of you people that are baptized and confirmed a member of the church to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, then you're probably, this has happened into your in your life. So I want to read you something from Luke, the 20th chapter. There's some of the Pharisees, and Christ is riding into Jerusalem. This is real important. Some of the Pharisees called to the master and said, "Rebuke your disciples." They were making a noise and cheering, and said, "Behold, the King of the Jews," and they were laying their coats in the pathway and palm leaves, and he was riding in there. And he answered and said unto them, "If these should hold unto them their peace, even the rocks would cry out." And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. And then he said, "If thou had known even at least in this thy day the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes." And this peace, not only to Jerusalem, but for each one of your households, this peace can be taken. You notice that there's problems and trouble and envy and strife, and this peace can be taken away from you. "For the day shall come," Christ said to those in Jerusalem, "upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and level thee even with the ground, even your children. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of my visitation." And you know, my young friends, that the time of Christ's visitation is near at hand, even now, when he comes in his second coming, and he says in the 12th chapter of Luke, "Blessed are those servants," and he's talking all of you, all of the women, the young women. Anyway, he's telling them that, "Blessed are those servants who keep my commandments, because, and heareth my knock, and openeth unto me, and I will come in and serve them meat," which is the sacrament. And so, he's warning us in this day and age, for he says, "I will come as a thief in the night. But you are the children of light, and you're baptized and confirmed a member of the church, and have the Holy Ghost to let you know that Christ is near at hand." And so, we don't want him to tell us, "You do not the day of my visitation." And so I want to take you on a journey, if I may. This same spirit that is speaking to you and I, the scriptures say, was the same spirit that spoke to Moses at the Red Sea, when all of a sudden 600 chariots of the Egyptians hove in sight after they'd been released from bondage and were walking down the shores. And the Israelites consisted of 600,000 men and women and children, and their cattle and their horses. And they must have been stretched out for 2 miles, when behold, here came the Egyptians to take them back into bondage again and to be slaves. And they'd been slaves for many, many years. And so they begin to grumble immediately and told Moses, "Why didn't you leave us in Egypt?" And so this is what the world is crying to us today when we see sorrow and suffering in our lives. "Come on over to us, we're not having any trouble." But we are in trouble, because God's people has always been in trouble, because Satan is abroad in the land and wanting to destroy you. Well, Moses cried unto the Lord, and he says, "Don't cry unto me," the Lord said, "cry unto the Israelites." And so he stood up and said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again forever." And so, I don't know how he amplified his voice to reach out to them that were so far away. But then the Lord told him to stretch out your rod across the sea, and the seas parted, and they heaped up on each side, and a wind blew all night, and created dry ground for the Israelites to walk over on. But you know, when they walked in the midst of the sea, what a tremendous thing. Here again was this Holy Ghost that had performed this miracle. But I listened to Professor Amici from some Eastern University, and he was telling about the about the falsity of this Moses claims that he parted the Red Sea by the power of God and the Holy Ghost. He says, actually, he said, there was just 3 inches of water and some bulrushes, and he says, and they went over in the water. But he never read the story in the Bible, apparently, because there was 600 chariots and horses and soldiers died in that 3 inches of water. So there was a miracle, wasn't there? And I read some Egyptian history later on, and it said this 600 legions, they had never found them to this day. And they were buried and died in that sea. They just disappeared the self off the face of the earth. Now I want to take you on a little trip. I come from Canada, you know, and during the 30s, my brother and I decided we were going to take a trip 1,200 miles away, and we were going to ride freight. And so we started off. Now, I want to show you where the Lord really blessed us. And so we started, and we were going to Vancouver, British Columbia. And when we got as far west as Edison, near Mount Robeson, they said, you'll never get through Red Pass. It is guarded day and night. So we're standing there wondering what to do, and the freight was sidetracked when a local came in. And a local has a coach in there and the mail and so forth, sort of a work train, goes from town to town. So the conductor walked over and he joked with this boy standing there. We told him where we were going. Listen, he says, you'll never get through. Let me sell you a ticket for the three of you for 35 cents. And we rode for 100 and some miles. I don't know how he did it, but he did. And while we were at Blue River, a freight pulled in, and these police come in mass. They're not the Mounties, they were the provincial police at that time. And they shot at these men on the railroad track, and then when they were running for the bush. And then they came in from both ends of the car with their guns drawn on us, and we really stood up right straight and showed them our tickets. Oh my, they backed off and apologized and everything else, you know. They had no business being in there. Well, we were thrilled with this conductor. We don't know where he is tonight, but God bless him. So we got to Vancouver, and I won't tell you any more of that trip. And in Vancouver, we lost most of our clothes, and what little bit of money we had disappeared. And so we started home, and we were coming up the Chilliwack Valley. That's where they grow orchards and potatoes and dairy and so forth, or the Okanagan Valley. These are great fruit points or land. And we were hungry. Oh, were we hungry. And we left New Westminster, and we're walking along the highway. And over in the field, I see a big mound of potatoes like this. Somebody had thrown them out in the spring of the year. And I said, let's go over and have some of them potatoes. And we have a little pan and a little fire and peeled off some of these potatoes and put them into boil. And the farmer came along. He says, you know, these are my potatoes. And this is my land that you're on. And of course, on the prairies, if you walked across our land, we wouldn't worry too much because, you know, everybody has quite a little of it. But out there, it's different. People over there's more numerous. And so he said, and besides, I want it for my pigs. And, you know, we thought of the prodigal son. You remember, he eat husks with the pigs? My goodness, I told my brother, you know, I says, we're getting pretty low. So he says, Bill, he says, let's head for home. So we started down the tracks, and we had a sailor with us, and he would steal everything in sight. And we didn't know how to get rid of him. And he'd always been on the sea. His dad had put him on the sea with the captain because he said, I didn't do very well on land. And so he had escaped in Vancouver. Somehow we had to get rid of him. We hated to do it, but he was going to get us in trouble. So we're walking along, and it's about this time of the night, and here's an Ayrshire herd of cattle. And I said to my brother, just look, I says, we could go over and milk one of those cows. I could catch one of those cows, I said, and you could milk these bottles we have full of milk, and we would at least have that nourishment. So this wasn't the thing to do, you know, being in that man's pasture. But we got over the fence, and we walked over about 50 yards or 75 yards to where these cows was, and they were all purebred Ayrshires, or that Ayrshire strain. And so I seen a likely looking cow, but she'd shy away from me, and she went around an old cow, and I slipped up there quick and grabbed her by the head. And you gotta remember, I was raised on a ranch, you know, and It wasn't too much of an effort to hold this cow. So my brother got right busy, and she kicked at him a little bit, but he says she's been milked, probably with a milker. And so I got one bottle filled, and he said, telling me quietly, he says, I just about got the other bottle full when this sailor said, say, he says, here's a cow. You don't have to fight with that one. Here's a quiet one. And I looked up, and I just said one word, bull, and we headed for the fence. I see this bull with his head up and the hair on the back of his neck up, and we run for the fence and jumped over into the right-of-way, the railroad right-of-way, and the sailor standing there. We said, run for your life. That bull will kill you. So we run, and the bull would come and take a dive at him like that, but miss him. He was really running, and he'd come to the railroad yard and hit this top wire with his stomach and come right on over into the right-of-way. Somehow we had to get rid of this boy. So we pulled into Hope, British Columbia, and three girls came out, and they said, you know, we saw you sitting here, and we cooked breakfast this morning for some men, but they never showed up. Would you eat the breakfast? What do you think? What do you think? Don't you think the Lord had something to do with that as well as them girls? And so we had this breakfast, and we pulled on down the road, and this sailor had already stole something out of the store. Oh, that was disgusting, you know. But we gave him the slip. We got away from him when he went into a ranger's cabin and come out with the ranger's pants on and a white shirt. That ended us. And so we finally got away from him, and we were getting hungry again. And you know, there was no highway there. We went down into the United States to go to Vancouver. We always did. If you wanted to go, you had to go around. There was no highway through those big mountains. So, and we didn't seem to have the money to build one. So I said to my brother, what in the world will we do? And so we caught a train. And I rode down through the Connaught Tunnel. It's 7 miles, you know, inside on top of a boxcar. And I was on fire in two or three different places. And I couldn't get my breath for hours after I got off that freight. The brakie couldn't believe that I rode down through that tunnel, coming down that figure eight. And all. And then at that time, see, there were cinders from the steamer. Well, we made it. And I give the Lord the praise for it. And we came out into into a valley, and we left. No, we didn't either. We're still riding the freight. And my brother's watching. He went to sleep. And the police caught us and put us in jail. This is the last straw. And what in the world would Mother say to us and Dad when we got home and found out we were in jail at 3 in the morning? And at 8 o'clock, they put us up on this road where the proposed highway was. And we started out. And my brother kept saying to me, excuse me, Bill, let's pray. Let's pray to the Lord. He was the first one to be called to the priesthood, too, by the way. And but I thought, I can make it. I never had to pray to the Lord for anything. It wasn't that I was defiant. It just seemed like it was maybe useless. I don't know what it was. So I walked on, and Bill, he says, you know this Holy Ghost that we were baptized with? He says, that Holy Ghost will come to our assistance, and we don't have to suffer like this. So we pulled into a little town of Fields, British Columbia. Look on your map. You will see it. And where the Kicking Horse River comes down the mountain like that, and the Yoho from this, and the Tackawa Falls is back there about a quarter of a mile. Real pretty lovely place. And we pulled in there, and in the Yoho Valley, and we went to the police station. We thought we would get some food there, and they said, we'll run you in for vagrancy. So we went down the road, and my brother said to me, Bill, let's pray, please, let's pray. Well, I said, all right. I says, you go pray. I says, and I'll keep watch. What in the world was I watching for? When you stop to think of it, you know. So I stood there, and he walked over far from here to that tree, and he knelt in the aspens, and he was gone quite a little while. When all of a sudden, I felt a warmth sweep over me, and he got up, and he was crying. You know, I'm 78, and I can just feel the spirit of that moment. I was just young, just like you boys here tonight, you young man. And I got up, and he came over toward me. He said, "Bill," he says, "things are going to be all right." And just then, I heard a voice. And the voice said to me, "What are you boys doing?" I said, "We're just standing here." "Listen," he said, "if you'd split some wood for us," he said, "we would really give you some supper. We would be just tickled." So we walked out there. What do you think of that? The first offer we'd had in since we left them girls at that restaurant, you know, those young girls, 15 or 16 years old. And so we went in there to this man's place and we split some wood. And he said to us without looking, "I see the sergeant over there at the police barracks looking at me. And they're provoked at me because I feed people. Here is a man. How would we find that man in the province of British Columbia that would feed us something to eat if it hadn't been for this spirit?" This was my first test of the Holy Ghost. And we walked toward the Great Divide after supper and we got washed up. And this lady said to us, Mrs. Morehouse, her husband played ball for the New York Yankees, one of those teams. And he was old now and had retired there. And she says, "You're only young boys. I thought you were grown men." But we were grown men. We were 17 and 16, you know. We walked toward the Great Divide with two packages of food, like a shopping bag, you know. And it was night, and we couldn't stay there because the police would be on to them. And it was just really wonderful. And they gave us, I think they gave us a flashlight, and we could keep at least wild animals away. And I didn't tell you, back in the mountains, we heard something in our packs, and so we threw rocks over there. And in the morning, we saw a bear down the road about a couple of hundred yards and had ripped open what pack we had. And a bull elk had six little cows and come walking stiff-legged toward us, you know, and run us up a tree for an hour. Oh, I thought, you won't believe it, you know. And we didn't have any water and we could see the rivers down below a couple of thousand feet or so. And the Lord brought us right through. You know, ahead of us, there's going to be a tremendous change in this land. You know, there was a tremendous change in the days of Noah, when all the world was flooded. And then there was another change over here in this land in the days of the Nephites. And 2,400, thereabout, of the more righteous people were saved. And the Lord says in the 12th chapter of Luke that he's coming back again. And blessed are those servants who are watching and waiting. And here is my knock, and openeth unto me. And so I am so glad that you are here tonight. You know that you're a light unto the world. And I want to tell you this journey that I had because of the terrible conditions of the land and the country at that time. But ahead, this change is going to take place when the economy of this land will break down and materialism will fall before your eyes as the power of the Lord touches your life. He must touch your life here. And you know that you girls, you're marvelous, marvelous women. And I say that with all the spirit that I can muster, thinking of my wife and my mother and all of the things that the women have done for the church in this land and for the world and for this country, has stood shoulder to shoulder with men and sometimes ahead of them. And I only got about 5 minutes, but I wanted to tell you something. And that ended the story. We finally got home. And Mother said, "You just look terrible. You look terrible." Oh, how lovely to be with Mother. One time, we had some cattle over here to Peculiar, Missouri. That's a town. We went through the outskirts of this town and came to a gate, and we would farm all this land there. It was belonged to my son and his wife, and so he was running cattle over there, and it looked like it had rained. So we went through this gate and over this little rise, and it was just gradually downhill, but we began to get stuck on the other side, and we could hear the mud and the stubble and things hitting the bottom of the car. And I raced the motor to get it through the mud and came up into the pasture and stopped the car. I says, "Honey, there's no way out, only through there." I says, we'll never get out. I'll have to walk out for a wreck or something. And so I fixed the gate. Like, I came over to fix the gate, and I fixed the gate, and I'm a high priest in the church. And at this time, you know, I'm not a patriarch at that time. And I have special, intimate relationships with our Heavenly Father. Really? So my little wife sat there. She's the granddaughter of J.J. Cornish. And I said to her, honey, after I fixed the gate, how are we going to get out of here? Well, she says, honey, we'll just have prayer and drive out. Honey, I says, you can't drive up through there. Look, it says, we sunk down 8 or 9 inches in that soft mud. I says, it's just impossible. She says, everything is possible with the Lord. Didn't matter to her at all. She went right down the center of the road. And she would inspire me, but I'm the high priest, so I should speak to the Lord. Honey, you go ahead to pray, I said. I says, the Lord's going to have trouble getting us through that mud. So she said, okay. She was a peaceful little girl. And she bowed her head, and I remember her praying to the Lord. And you know that the tears that David cried were diamonds in the heart of our Heavenly Father. And when she prayed, after a bit, she would begin to cry. And I remember praying this time. And so I said, what gear will I put it in? How smart can you get? So I put it in a gear and drove out there. And I says, I'll just straddle the ruts. And I drove up this hill. I'm now in the mud. And almost I was wishing it would sink. I drove up over the hill and through the gates. Hannah says, it can't be. And I got out and walked back down to that pasture, and my feet sunk at least 3 times more than the car sunk coming up through there. And she would have marvelous things like this. Blessed are our women. And they're not high priests in the church either. They are marvelous. They're just somebody's wife and somebody's mother. And you know, I got one minute left. You've been a wonderful audience. You know, the Lord will bless you. This week, make it pay. Don't get in a rut like this man on the bus. Stay alert to these things, because you'll go down the road and you'll say, what was said at that retreat that I went to? Here I am against the stone wall and I need some help. And this Holy Ghost will come to you and touch your life and bless you. And you'll feel the warmth of His Spirit as it encourages and strengthens even your family, because life is so fast and moves so furiously. Yeah. He is the potter and we are the clay, and He can serve us all the days of our life. Bill, thank you. Thank you all.